Appreciate that intro. Good afternoon, everyone. Because he mentioned the mountains, I have to say that on the last day of our camping fishing trip, Suzanne and James and I were fishing. Suzanne caught three, James caught two, and I was not skunked. I got one. So I want you to know who the fisher people are in our family. I appreciate all of you being here today. When we get up here to speak, it's kind of like what Mr. Howe was saying. He hadn't spoken for a while, but we really appreciate you coming to listen to us, and we do not want to waste your time. We want you to feel that when you're here, you receive something of value. And I have to say that I really appreciate it and learned much from Mr. Howe's message today. There's so many things, so many good things from God for us to appreciate. And one of those things that we were able to do this week is we were able to go to the mountains. The mountains are totally different than where I live. I have a hill behind me, you know, called Cow's Mountain, but it's a hill. You know, it's 1,500 feet. We were up at about the 8,000-foot level, and we were looking, if you'll go along with me, at the glory of God, you know, 13,000-foot peaks all around us, and it's amazingly beautiful. What it does is it changes our perspective. I'm not saying that you guys are not beautiful, but none of you is 13,000 feet high, and you're all below me, and when we're there camping, I have to look up just to see the sunrise or the moon go down. There was no moon this week. Maybe that's why the fishing was good. Anyway, we had a wonderful time, and it was very beautiful. If we, you and I, if we spent our time doing nothing else but thanking God for what we have already been given, we could not ever thank God enough. But I'd like you to notice one scripture today. Let's turn to Hebrews 4. You know, the writer of Hebrews is very, very positive. The writer has been thanking God in Hebrews 1, 2, and 3 for many things. But now he comes to Hebrews 4. And Hebrews 4, 1 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of..." And I want to say us, because I want to include myself in this. "Let us fear lest any of us seem to come short of it." We don't want to come short of perhaps the finest promise that God gives to us. When was the last time that you specifically thought about all the promises that God gives to us? When was it? If you're abundantly blessed right now with, I like to say this, extensive riches, overflowing your needs so much that you're able to give them into the hands of others around you, you just have so much money that you not only put a penny in the penny jar, but you put $100. If you have that right now, and you share with other people, and these other people are so impressed by what you do that they thank you instead of thanking God, that's not good, but if they do, if your health is so good that people from around the country and around the world call you up to ask you, why do you have such good health? If you have so much of that, if you work at things, not because you need to earn money, but because you choose not to be idle, if you have all of that right now, then Hebrews 4 is really not for you. Because you have it all, and we're human. And if you have it all, you don't need anything else. That's just the way God constructed us. But If you're a normal, average Church of God person, in the world that I live in, then maybe this message might be for you as well. Because this message is for me. So anything that I say, if I say anything that in the least makes you feel uncomfortable, remember, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. We all, me, I need to learn. And God has given me the desire and the opportunity to speak with you today. So let's look at Hebrews 4 and start to read it. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of us seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now, when you read that, or when I read that, I go, wait a minute, what's he talking about? The gospel was preached to us as well as to them. And you have to go back in the earlier chapters of Hebrews to see that what the writer of Hebrews was saying was those Israelites in the wilderness had the gospel preached to them. And you go, wait a minute, Christ wasn't around. He couldn't preach to them. Yes, he was. Remember, the God of the Old Testament was the God who became Jesus Christ. And what he taught them in the wilderness was the gospel message, the same gospel message that we are privileged to read in this book. They didn't have the book written then. Moses hadn't written his part yet. But read that again. For indeed the gospel was preached to them as well as it is to us today. But there's a problem. The word which they heard did not profit them. Didn't do them any good. Because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. Why wasn't it? Why wasn't it mixed with faith? I'm telling you. I don't know if you believe me, but I'm telling you, they weren't any different than we are. Yeah, the old Israelites were no different than us, except for one thing. I believe, and whenever I get up here to speak, I look at you and I believe that you have God's Spirit and I have God's Spirit. It wasn't mixed with faith in them. They had not been given God's Spirit yet. And because they didn't have God's Spirit, they had no faith. They saw the miracles. They had been taken out of Egypt. They'd seen the plagues that the Egyptians had received. Not only that, but something that we do all the time. We pray to our Father in heaven and we ask for things. They asked for things and they were given what they needed. They wanted water. They were given water. They asked for food. They were given food. They said, the food's not good enough. We want meat, or men of Israel. And they were given meat. They were given chicken. No, they were given quail. I remember that. It was not mixed with faith in those that heard it because they did not have God's Holy Spirit. And that's what Mr. Howe was speaking about. If we do not have that Spirit in us, there's nothing that we can do to reconcile with others. When you do have God's Spirit, you want to reconcile. You don't want to be enemies. You do want to be of like mind with every single other person that you come into contact with, especially here, but even when you go outside these doors. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. Wait a minute. We're going to have to talk more about that. What is that talking about? For he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they, the Israelites, shall not enter my rest. Now, there's two things going on here, right? The Israelites were going to the promised land. But when they did not respond with faith, and they could have, do you think that Caleb had God's Holy Spirit before it was given to him? No, of course he didn't. Had to be given to him. But he saw things differently. And Joshua saw things differently. Two out of perhaps as many as 2 million people actually entered into that rest, entered into the promised land. Incredibly small percentage, right? 2 out of 2 million. Let's go on and read a little bit more. For he had spoken in a certain way. For God had spoken in a certain way of the... I skipped the last part of verse 3, which is important. In fact, it's part of the meat of my message. And although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day of the week in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. So you know that two things are going on. One is the Israelites are going to the promised land, very physical. But two, they shall not enter in my rest. I want you to understand that this is talking to us today. We're here, we're resting on the Sabbath, but there's got to be something more in this book of Hebrews, in this particular verse that's being talked about. What is the rest that we want to enter into? Do we want to just keep coming back to this building every Sabbath day? Is that what we want? Is that the greatest hope that you have in your mind? If it is, that's kind of shallow, at least. There must be more to this rest. Therefore, verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter this special rest, and those to whom it was first preached, the Israelites, did not enter because of disobedience. Remember, he's talking about two different things here. Two different things. Keep that in mind. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, and whatever day that is, like in Bible chat, we're trying to nail down days. But whatever day you hear the message, that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If God is working with you, if you have God's Holy Spirit, then open up your ears to what is actually being offered. Don't just go, I've heard all this stuff before. Don't do that. Do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, you know, when he crossed the river and went into the promised land, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. David would not have spoken. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest, God's rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Now, has God ceased from his works? Yes, God has ceased from his physical works. But has God ceased from his spiritual works? No, God has not ceased from his spiritual works. And you know how I know that? Because you and I are not yet in that powerful, real kingdom of God. We may be a part of the church of God, but Jesus Christ is not ruling in Washington, D.C. or any other capital of the earth, you know. We do stupid things. Humans do stupid things. And when Christ is the ruler, it will not be done in a stupid way. So there remains a rest that we're all looking forward to. We, personally, we, Church of God people, look at verse 9 as a partial proof that we should keep the Sabbath each week. And it is a proof, and we should keep God's Sabbath. But brethren, it's a whole lot more than that. Most of us will keep and kept this week's Sabbath from Friday sunset until tonight, Saturday sunset. And then we'll go back to our ordinary pursuits at sunset Saturday night. That's all quite normal for us. But look again at verse 9 and verse 10. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Is the writer of Hebrews simply saying we're going to come back here again next Sabbath? Is that what the writer is saying? Or does the writer of Hebrews mean something more? Look at what it says in verse 10. For he who has entered his rest, it's capitalized, he who has entered God's rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. If we were in God's kingdom now, you would not go back to doing the regular thing after sunset tonight. It wouldn't be the same thing. The kingdom, the time when Christ reigns here on earth, is going to be radically different. We won't go back to the same old thing because we will not be the same old people. We will be changed. And that's something that we really need to look forward to. When was the last time you actually thought, just sitting at home and thought, well, what am I going to be doing? What am I going to be? I guess the first question you ask is, why did God call me? I mean, what do I have to contribute to the world tomorrow? And before services, we were talking a little bit, at least a couple of us, about, well, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. You know, that's kind of an inspeak in the church of God because we all want to be humble, you know. But God didn't call you to that particular designation in the world beyond today. God called us to be kings and priests. Now, I'm going to raise my hand and say, I don't have the slightest idea what kings and priests do. I really don't. But we do not have to worry about that very much. Not only will an answer be given when you're called upon in a court of law, but we will be given the mind of Jesus Christ, who does know how to rule. And we can read about it very easily in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus Christ gives those marching orders to his church. Now, our physical bodies will be changed to spirit, and then we can be those kings and priests. There won't be any need for money. Can you imagine if you don't have enough money now? A lot of us don't have as much as we think we need. But can you imagine in the world tomorrow when you're really a king and a priest, the need for money? And yet that consumes so many of us in the world today. And health. Not all of us enjoy the vigorous good health that I do. You know, some of the people that I love, and I tell them, you're going to get better, and then they die. Julie was a really good friend of mine. I went to Julie because she stimulated me. She never talked about her condition, which was going downhill and dying. She always inspired me by, talking about, well, what is really important? And we talk about that, and it was such an inspiration to me to listen to her talk about that. And the last time that I talked to her, we had a really good time. I mean, she was in good shape, just like Mr. Tabor was. Last time Suzanne and I talked to him, he was in really good shape, really happy. Thought he was in a hotel, he was in the hospital. But it didn't make any difference because he was happy. What difference does it make? You're happy, and then God pulls you out of that situation, and the next thought that either Julie or Mr. Tabor has, they'll be in the kingdom, you know, perfectly content, in good health, and happy. When Christ returns, we will not live the way that we live in the world today. Let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, be afraid, lest any of us come short of that promise. Each Sabbath is a little picture of the world tomorrow, but there is a bigger picture that we need to think about, and that's the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is also not limited to the first high day, last high day, and a Sabbath in between. The Feast of Tabernacles is 8 days long, and God wants us to take our minds and with our bodies and move out of the world that we live in today to a different place, a different location, and to think different thoughts. That's one of the reasons why Suzanne and I have been going camping for a week or so every end of the summer type thing for about 30 years. Because when we go up into the mountains and we see those different things and catch fish, I really love to do that, so does Suzanne, your mind goes to a different place. And God wants us to do that. So he gives us the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I understand that not everybody can always go for all 8 days. I understand that. And God understands that too. But if you possibly at all have the opportunity to go to the Feast of Tabernacles for 8 days and put your mind in a different location for that amount of time, you will grow much more quickly than you would if you just struggled to get there on the commanded assembly days. We've had the privilege, Suzanne and I have had the privilege of keeping all 8 days of the feast for 41 years. And I know that it helps our understanding of God's way of life. Let's go to Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10 again, because I want to read 11, but I want to start in by saying, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered, those of us who have entered that eternal rest, has himself also ceased from the physical works as God did from his." Our lives are not over when we go into God's kingdom. Our lives are only just beginning. We will have ceased from all the physical things, needs that we have in this world today. But, and I love this. I love my mom. I really do. My mom died, 10 years or so ago. And she was a dedicated Catholic. I mean, she was really a dedicated Catholic. And after I learned the truth, I had a hard time going home and doing what she asked me to do in this regard. Everything else I could do. But she would say, "Skip, please, please come with me to midnight mass on Christmas." And I know why she wanted me to do that. She wanted me to do that to show the people in her congregation that I still loved and respected her. But I couldn't do it. You know why I couldn't do it? I couldn't do it because I loved that Catholic stuff. I liked the incense and the candles and the ding-dong bells and all that stuff. I thought, I understand, Mom, what you're asking me to do, and I do love you, but I can't do that. I'm going to see my mother again and my father and be able to tell them, "I appreciate what you've gone through, what you did. I never respected you or understood at the time, but I do now because God has opened my mind through his word and his Holy Spirit, and I will see them again." And each of those loved ones that we've seen, Mrs. Parker or Julie or Mr. Tabor, any of those people that have died, we're going to see them again. We're not going to go to heaven. They are going to be resurrected and serve on earth with us under Jesus Christ. To me, my point is, we're not getting 1,000 years of sitting on our butts. We're going to be doing valuable work, teaching and sharing with other people the incredible messages that we are privileged to understand today. So, going on, for the word, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, that millennial rest, lest anyone fall." Verse 12, "according to the same example of disobedience of the old Israelites in the wilderness." That's what's meaning by that. Hebrew writer here. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." That's incredible. Life and the principle of life. "And of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts." This is saying to me, brethren, that you can't fool God. God knows what you think. God knows what I think before I even think it. He knows what I'm going to think. God knows whether we're serious about the Sabbath day. God knows whether we're serious about the Feast of Tabernacles. And God knows whether we really want to be in that kingdom. And will give them, both Father and Son, 24 hours every Sabbath and 8 days each Feast of Tabernacles, or we won't. God knows already. God knows our hearts. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, and he doesn't just pass through the heavens. Remember, he created the heavens. Jesus Christ makes everything that you see have value. That's what it means, pass through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And that just means our promise. When we were baptized, we promised Jesus Christ that we would give him everything. And what the writer here is saying, let's hold that fast. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. The weaknesses. Oh, Suzanne and I, it got down to 40 degrees on the last day, you know, and Suzanne and I are laying there and we're asking each other, who's going to help who up first? I got to get out of this sleeping bag and I can't move. And Jesus Christ has been there. I want to read something that I just thought about today. Who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tested as we are. Is that true? Was Jesus Christ tested in every way that you and I are tested? I mean, you don't have to believe it. You only have to believe it if you want that incredible spiritual help that can come from an advocate who has actually gone through what you're either going through now or going to have to go through in the future. If you really believe that, then he was tested in all those things, in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So let's conclude this message. Let's conclude this message, which told you want to keep the Sabbath for 24 hours. You want to keep the feast for 8 days. Let's complete this message by repeating chapter 4, verse 1, Hebrews. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear. Let us be sincere and actually dedicated and scared a little bit of falling short of it. Each Sabbath, we have an opportunity to withdraw from Satan's world for 24 hours. And every Feast of Tabernacles, we have an elongated chance to live another way. It's true that only the Sabbath and the first and last of the 8 days are commanded assemblies, but God's intent was for the Israelites to live 8 days apart from their homes, to live in temporary dwellings for 8 days. And that tent that Suzanne and I camp in every day or every year for 5 or 6 days, it's very definitely a temporary dwelling. I thank God for its temporariness. I liked my bed last night. We'll hear more about the Feast of Tabernacles. But as you keep God's Sabbath for 24 hours and then keep God's Feast of Tabernacles for 8 days, year by year, you will learn a great deal more. Hebrews 4, part of verse 3, for we who believe, we will enter that rest. Let's keep God's Sabbath, and I look forward to the Feast of Tabernacles.